But
okay, so they took me up to a farm in New Hampshire run by a woman by the name of Marion Johnson. And Marion Johnson was a registered nurse. She had a little farm up there. When she died, the obituary in the Boston Globe said she had put 16,000 drunks through there. She was one tough cookie, but she was an angel. She saved my life. I didn't have any money. I told her, I said, Marion, I haven't got any money. She said, that's okay. And she gave me three hots and a cot and kept me there till I was, you know, relatively, I had recovered enough so I could leave. I don't know how long I was there, maybe a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. And my twin brother picked me up. They had arranged for me to have a room in Lowell. And I had a room over a bar room. Salvation Army gave me, paid for that room, and gave me two meals a day at the Rochette's Diner. And I remember the first day I got there, I was just crawling. I was falling apart because I had no booze. They were saying to me, we go one day without a drink. And I said, I don't know how I can do this. I didn't think there was any way I could do it. I'd been trying to do this off and on, but not trying really hard, but, you know, right, for 5 years, and it hadn't worked. And now I was in a position where it had to work. I had been pronounced dead a few days earlier. This had to work. There was no question about it. And so I learned a day at a time right off the bat. That guy I met at the first meeting, Harold, he became my first sponsor. And I said to him, I said, Harold, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it at all. He said, look at Bob, why don't you stay sober tonight? And if you're this bad tomorrow, I'll give you a drink. Because back in those days, they'd give you a drink, right? You know? Because there was no detoxes or anything like that. And I lived all night long on that promise that he would give me a drink. And the next day, I heard him coming, and I raced out to meet him, and I said, have you got it? He said, I got what? I said, have you got the booze? He said, I'm not going to give you the drink. I said, what do you mean you're not going to? You told me yesterday you'd give me a drink today. He said, I never said that. I said, yes, you did. You're lying to me. You said that you would give me a drink today if I felt, you know. He said, I never said that. I said, I would give you a drink tomorrow. I said, what are you saying? He said, well, I will. If you're this bad tomorrow, I'll give you a drink. And I was so mocus that I believed them again. I suppose I believed them for 4 or 5 days until I finally said to myself, this guy isn't going to give me a drink. He's never going to give me a drink. And the reason he's not going to give me a drink, it's always today. It's never tomorrow. It's never tomorrow. I recently looked up the definition of tomorrow in Webster's dictionary. And it says the day following today. And it's as simple as that. The only day you can live is today. So I started my journey in AA. And it was a very difficult journey. 1961. You get a guy that weighs 102 pounds, who's an absolute nervous wreck. His mind is all screwed up. He has no job, no money, doesn't know where his family is at all. And he's starting the journey day at a time. But the biggest thing he didn't have was a belief in a power greater than himself. And they kept talking to me about this power greater than myself. And I said to Harold, I said, I don't have a power greater than myself. He said, oh, yes, you do. I said, oh, no, I don't. He said, oh, yes, you do. He said, read the first step. And obviously the first step says we're powerless over alcohol. And he said, now, what's that word there? Powerless? Are you powerless over alcohol? I said, yeah, I'm powerless over alcohol. He said, then if you're powerless over alcohol, alcohol's a power greater than yourself. Would you agree to that? Well, you have to agree to that, right? And that was my higher power, alcohol. And now they had taken that away from me. And I realized that I'm in trouble. I've got to stay sober. I have no choice in the matter. I'm going to die if I don't. And, you know, incidentally, when I was pronounced dead, and I woke up in whatever hospital I was in, I think it was Garden State, and I realized I was really mad. I said, you know, why did they bring me back? Why didn't they let me die? Because I really didn't want to live. You know, it would be much easier to die, you know. Get it all over. I almost died when I was born. I used to say to myself, why didn't they let me die then? You know, I didn't want to be here. But Harold said, we're going to find a power greater than yourself. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, well, why don't you choose a name? So he said, I said, what kind of name? He said, anybody's name, anybody's name. So the first thing that popped on my mind was Sam. He said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask Sam for help in the morning. And I want you to thank Sam at the end of the day when you go to bed sober. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, Sam isn't going to help me. There is no Sam. It's a figment of my imagination. It's a little, you know, little toy doll or something. It's not. He said, just do what I ask you to do. Ask Sam for help in the morning and thank Sam at night. And I did that from 1961 till 1966, October, and I had a spiritual experience in October of 1966. I was sober a little over 5 years, and I'd been asking Sam for help. And I was driving out, I got my license back, I was driving out to Worcester, and I was in a beautiful town out there by the name of Bolton. And it was an October day, and the trees were ablaze, and I'm not a tree hugger, I don't go around kissing bark, I mean like that. But the magnificence of the beauty of the whole scene got to me. And I said, you know, I said, there is a power greater than myself. There's something that's doing this. Something that's painting those leaves. Something that's making that sky that blue. And, you know. And I sat there by the side of the road and cried for a long time. I don't know how long. Maybe an hour. Maybe a half an hour. Maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember. And I turned my car around and I headed back to Lowell and I told Sam, I told Harold, I said, Sam's working, right? That's why I'm sober. Sam's working. He said, then why don't you call him by his real name, God? And I tried, but I didn't believe in God. I believed in Sam, even though Sam I knew was just a figment of my imagination. And I was confused. I'm 5 years sober. And I'm confused. And it wasn't too long ago I spoke at a thing up in Vermont. And there was a question and answer period afterwards. And somebody asked me, God, as you understand him, how do you understand Bob? How do you understand God? And I said, I don't. Even now, after 50 years of sobriety, I don't understand God. I don't understand him. Or her. Or it. I don't know what God is. All I know is that God is. I know that now, see? God is. I don't know what God is, you know? But I don't think that's just me. People have faith. And they use that faith to cultivate a belief in something, whatever that something is, right? I don't know what that something is. I don't put a face on it. I don't put a name on it. I'm not sure God knows his name is God, right? Right? But I just know there is, and it took me almost 20 years of asking, and I did ask God for help after that, you know. I might as well. I still didn't believe in God, but I didn't believe in Sam either. And he was helping me, I guess. So I went along through the first 20 years of my sobriety kind of in a fog. I knew AA worked. I loved AA. I was speaking at you know, meetings and anniversaries, and you know, and I felt a little bit bewildered because I could talk about the God of my understanding, and I could talk about a higher power, and I could tell people, you know, there's a power behind this program that helps, but I didn't understand that power, and I'm talking about it and I'm believing it, but I had to understand it, and I couldn't. I couldn't. I forced myself. So I'm the kind of a guy who draws analogies to everything, right? And I thought about it. And one day I was sitting in, and I remember I was out in Pepperell, and it was a really windy day. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing the trees waving in the breeze out there, you know. And they're bending right down to the ground. I had some pine trees out there and some maples, and they're going crazy out there. The wind is really. And it suddenly occurred to me, and it occurs just like that. Trees can't do that. Trees do not have the ability to go waving around all by themselves. Leaves do not twitter on the trees by themselves. Something is moving those trees. And it was obvious what it was. It was the wind. Now, isn't it strange, I said to myself, that I believe in the wind, even though I can't see it. Even though I can't see the wind at all, I can believe in the wind, and I can believe it's here, because I can see what the wind is doing. And then I started thinking about it, and I said, AA. I go to meetings. There are helpless, hopeless drunks who are staying sober any amount of time, a day at a time. You know, 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. They're staying sober. These are people who can't stay sober. That's why they wound up in AA. If they could have stayed sober without it, they wouldn't have come. But they couldn't. So they had to come to AA. They had to come to AA to find something that would help them stay sober a day at a time. And I can't see that thing that's helping them stay sober. But I can see the results of what happened. It's like the wind. I can't see the wind moving those branches, but I can see the branches move. I can't see the spirit or the power behind this program, but I can see the results. And the results proves that there is a power. That's the absolute positive, undisputable proof that there's a power. And they have conventions, worldwide conventions, 80,000 people. But not just people, 80,000 hopeless drunks. Hopeless, right? The bottom of the barrel, right? And they're all sober. And that's the winds that keep them sober. That's the power. Do I identify it? I don't know. I still don't identify it, but I don't have to identify it anymore. I went through all those years saying I've got to identify it. That's a refrigerator, and it looks like a refrigerator. That's a television, and it looks like a television. That's God, but it doesn't look like God, because I can't see God. But I don't have to. I don't have to. And so I know today there is a power behind this program. I don't know how I can convince people of that. And I feel inside of me that it's important for me to convince a newcomer that there is this power that works. I don't know where I go when I die. I have no idea. Obviously, I just lost my wife, Anne. I miss her terribly, but, you know, people would say, well, she's in heaven, or you'll see her again, and I say, well, you don't know that. And see, I'm a doubting Thomas, right? You know, I gotta see proof of these things. But, I feel her near me sometimes. I feel her near me. So here I am. In another week, 1 week from today, I will celebrate my 80th birthday. I was pronounced dead at 29, and I'm very much alive at 80, and very grateful for this program, and very grateful for the people who came before me, and grateful because this program could have collapsed in the very beginning. There were so many turns and twists that could have taken the program away from us. Bill in the hotel. If he had had a drink instead of made those phone calls, and it wasn't easy to make those phone calls. You know, he didn't just dial AA and somebody answered. There was no AA. He finally, after calling churches and talking with people, he finally got in touch with Henrietta Seibeling, who brought him to Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob was a crusty old guy. He wasn't interested in listening to Bill. He told Bill, he said, I'll give you 15 minutes or whatever it was. State your case. And he said, I know what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about my drinking. And Bill said the thing that is the cornerstone of AA. He said to Dr. Bob, he said, no, I'm not going to talk about your drinking. I'm going to talk about my drinking. And several hours later, they had struck up a relationship that lasted till his death. Because it's sharing our experiences, sharing what's happened. Identification, people identify with. Oh, my God, I feel, I've done that before. Oh, I remember doing that. I remember when I felt that way, too. And if he's feeling that way and he's sitting in front of me and he's doing good, maybe I can do good, too. And the beginning days and months are very trying, very difficult, very difficult. You need a lot of support, good sponsors. a lot of meetings. I'm a firm believer that meetings will not keep you sober, because I've seen people running to meetings all the time and going on getting drunk, right? You know, you got to change. You got to. That's what the 12 steps came about. And I remember, Bill was only 4 years old, four years sober when he wrote those 12 steps. And you can't tell me there's anybody that with 4 years of sobriety can write those 12 steps. He was certainly spiritually inspired. Certainly was. And you yourself gave me that book with the original thing, and you read about it, and he wrote them, and then he put it out to the public and said, you know, let's edit this thing and make it, and not a word of that has been changed. The only word that I know that has been changed in AA was, they used to say, the only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stay sober. They took the word honest out, because it's difficult for a person to be honest. You know, I say when I speak, I always close the same way. I say, you know, one day at a time. I talked to a newcomer today, and he was jittery, you know, this morning. And I told him, I said, hey, you're working on the same day I am. He said, well, you got 50 years. I said, no, those 50 years count for nothing. You know, I'm working on today to go to bed sober tonight, and you're doing the same thing. We're both on the same day, and we're both doing the same things to try and stay sober. And that's the answer to the whole thing. And I believe in God today. Even though I don't identify him, I believe in him. I know AA works. I want to thank Bill and Bob and the Sibelings and, you know, Dr. Silkworth, all those people who held this thing together, right? Because if they hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be sitting here. And I'm grateful for one day of sobriety. It's the greatest gift a loving God can give a drunk. It's added up now to 18,300 some odd days in a row. So it's just another day. And thanks for asking me to do this. Okay?
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Okay.